Alright, so last week we discussed, we started discussing Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and last week we discussed why those three were chosen. Why is it that we talk about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What was the exact qualifications that they had that we choose them for who we mentioned? And we'll get back to an idea about that also before we move on. But we discussed last week, the Gemara says, David HaMelech asked, why do we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we don't say Elokei David? And we discussed the Gemara's answer there. Don't want to go back through the entire point, but we basically discussed that the answer the Gemara gives, that Hashem said to David, because the Avos were tested and you weren't tested. And discussed, what does it mean that David HaMelech wasn't tested? Does anyone, you know, is anyone such a person who doesn't go through tests? And specifically David HaMelech seems to have...
Because David was Goliath, you know, I mean, it was...
Right, plenty of things in David HaMelech's life which you can point to that seems to have been tests. So we discussed the idea that the Avos had a very specific type of test, each of which went against their nature, which was that Avraham was, for example, Avraham was exemplified the midah of chesed, of kindness, and he was tested with the Akedah. He was told to kill his own son, and the basic idea was that, you know, are you a Baal chesed? Are you a person of chesed because that's what you find meaningful, or you're a Baal chesed because that's what God wants? And Avraham, by showing that when God says not to be a Baal Chesed, was willing to do that, showed that he's not a Baal Chesed because that's what he personally finds meaningful, but he's a Baal Chesed because that's Ratzon Hashem. And when it's not Ratzon Hashem that he should be a Baal Chesed, then he's not a Baal Chesed. And that, you know, is Megalit, so it reveals about all of his Chesed that it's not just because that's, you know, a nice, meaningful thing to do, but because he's really, it's all because that's what Hashem wanted. And that was the specific type of tests that the Avos went through, and not going to go back through all of them, but that was why the Avos were epitomized that relationship with Hashem, which we open up with, which one essay with. Now, what I wanted to talk about tonight, first off, is an interesting question, which might say why. I don't know exactly how to phrase the question, other than when we get to the next step. But maybe for, like, why only the Avos? And there's one other person who, in Jewish literature, is considered to be, in a certain way, on a higher level than the Avos. And that person is Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's an interesting statement by the Nefesh Chaim. The Nefesh Chaim in Shar Gimel. I believe it's at the very end of Shar Gimel in Perek Yud Daled, that the Nefesh Chaim there quotes the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. The Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar says that a person should always say, Masai Yagia Ma'asai Lamasei Avosai Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. That a person should always say to themselves, when will my deeds reach the level of the deeds of my forefathers of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? And the Nefesh Chaim says that we specifically say to the deeds of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we don't say Moshe, because a person can't actually hope to reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's beyond the scope of a person's expectations. A person should strive and aspire to reach the Madrega, the level of the Avos, but the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's beyond the scope of a person's expectations of what they can achieve. And so I want to just try and understand exactly what that dichotomy, what that difference of their level is, and really tie it in here to the Shemona Esrei here. And just as a little bit of a disclaimer, if we really wanted to fully understand this concept, really there's about three chapters of Nefesh HaChaim that we would have to go through in their entirety. It's probably chapter 11, 12, and 13, and maybe parts of 14 of Shar Gimel of Nefesh HaChaim to really totally go through this idea, but it's a very fundamental idea. Two, possibly three of the Yud Gimel Ikrim are really about Moshe Rabbeinu and his Nevuah, the seventh Ikr is the ikar that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi that ever was and ever will be. The eighth ikar is that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught was exactly what Hashem wanted him to teach. And the ninth ikar, which is in many ways a corollary of the eighth ikar, is that the Torah will never be replaced, will never be added to or subtracted from, and that the Torah that we have is, you know, it's eternal and permanent and won't be changed. So the position of Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah and his Nevuah is a very central concept to that, you know, a very central place in Jewish dogma. So it's an important concept to try and work out here. So what exactly is this Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, which Nefesh HaChaim is saying that it's, you know, we don't hope for that. That's not something that that a person can really aspire towards, as opposed to the Avos, is that we say Masai Yagia Maasai Lamasai Avosai Avram Yitzchak of Yaakov. So try and get somewhat of a entrance point into this discussion. The existence of Moshe Rabbeinu was a very unique existence that was necessary for there to be such a thing as Matan Torah. The Meshech Chachma, his introduction to Sefer Shmos, actually says that at Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Bechira. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the way he says it, is that he reached such a level that he was, say, catapulted to the point where he outgrew Bechira, where he lost his Bechira, and he achieved a level which is, you know, somewhat, the Meshech Chaim goes on to say, the whole point of existence is Bechira, that we have, that the reason we're alive is to be Omid ben Nisayon and to be tested and to make the right choices through Bechira. And Moshe Rabbeinu, kind of in a certain sense, became like a superhuman. He no longer had Bechira. The Meshech Chachma, between the lines there, addresses the obvious question that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake later at with Mei Meriva, with the hitting the rock and Shemuna Amorim and whatever the mistake there was, but there was some mistake, and so exactly how did that happen? Different topic, but as Meshech Chachma says, that Moshe Rabbeinu reached this level where he surpassed the idea of the realm of Bechira. We find when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the Medrash says that he was no lad mahol. He was born, he was already circumcised. That says that the house filled with light when he was born, and we find that the existence of Moshe Rabbeinu was this very unique level of understanding that is beyond, you know, the pale of regular human experience. So the Nefesh HaChaim discusses at length that the idea of what he calls the Hasaga of the Avos and the Hasaga of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, and this sort of ties into discussion in Shmona Esrei, that there are two very central names of Hashem. We say them in every bracha that we make, which is that there's the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke, and there's the Shem Elokim. And the meaning of Elokim is, the Shulchan Aruch says this in Hilchos Tefillah, and the Ramban talks about this, is a very well-known idea, that the idea of Elokim is the idea of Baal HaKochos Kulam, that God is absolutely in charge of everything, that behind every koach, everything that happens in the world, that God is in charge of it all. And really, you see this in the language of our brachos, that even when we have things that are working through a certain medium, really God is the one who's doing it through that medium. We don't say that God makes the sun shine, but rather that God is Meir, God lightens up the world through the sun. But God is the one doing it through a mechanism, which is, you know, the sun. We say HaMeir La'aretz. We don't say that the sun is Meir. We say God is Meir La'aretz. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in complete control of all of the forces in the world, and therefore there were the Avos. They were on this level of Elokim, where they recognized that there's no power, there's no autonomy, and nothing that's independently, you know, active to anything that is, and all of the kochos in the world, they're all completely under God's control, and everything is exactly and totally under the complete dominion of the way Hashem wants the world to run. And therefore, tremendous nisim that happened for the Avos, because they understood that, you know, if all of the wonderful things, because they understood that God's in complete control. So, you know, the nisim aren't anything strange, because, you know, God's totally in control. And therefore, that the madrega of the Avos was the hasaga of Elohim, of recognizing that God is Baal Kol HaKochus Kulam, that he's the ultimate power, the ultimate force behind everything that happens. But that madrega is still a level at which you're acknowledging that there is an everything, meaning that things exist, that there's an existence, there's a reality to the world. The world is something real. It's totally under God's control, but it is a reality. And therefore, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that we find that Moshe that Avraham said, "Anochi afar ve'efer." I am dirt and I am dust and ashes. Dust and ashes, they're worthless. But they're still something. They're still a thing. They still exist. There's still a physical reality there. As opposed to, and this is the other half of the picture, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, his expression of acknowledgement of his own place was Anachnu Benachnu Ma. That what are we? We're nothing. We're non-existent. And the level of Hakara of Moshe Rabbeinu was this level of realizing and recognizing that Ein Od Milvado Mamish, that there's literally, in the most literal sense of the word, there is nothing other than the existence of God, that God is everything. And the Nefesh HaChaim says it very powerfully in Perak Beis and Perak Gimel of Shaar Gimel of Nefesh HaChaim, says that it would not be incorrect to say from a very real perspective, from a very authentic perspective of existence or of the nature of reality, that we don't exist. Sounds very kind of like existential, kind of whatever. But that's what Nefesh HaChaim says, that it would be accurate to say, from the perspective of, you know, a true absolute perspective of existence, that we don't really exist. God is the only real existence, and we are all, you know, kind of figments. We're all here just as a result of God's desire that we be here, but the only real existence is God's existence. And that's the level of the Hakara of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. There only exists, the only existence is the existence of God. And that was the recognition that Moshe Rabbeinu had, was the recognition of Ein Od Milvado, that there is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why in Sfarim it's referred to that there's two madregas in when we say Shema. There's the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and there's the pasuk of Baruch Shem Kavod. And when Moshe Rabbeinu, and one of them is called the Ilah and the Tata, there's the upper level and the lower level. When Moshe Rabbeinu said Kriya Shema, find that Moshe Rabbeinu only said the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. When Yaakov Avinu said Shema Yisrael was followed by Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed, because the idea of Shema Yisrael is a declaration that Hashem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, that Hashem is one, does not just mean that he's one and not two, that's also included, but that Hashem is one means that Hashem's existence is the totality, is everything, and there is nothing else other than Hashem's existence. The whole idea of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed, we discussed the idea of Baruch. The idea of Baruch means the idea of some hashba coming from expanding and increasing something else. The idea of Malchus Hashem is the idea, Shem, the idea of a name is always the representation of something, of an existence, something else. You don't need your name to relate to yourself, and if you do, you should seek help. But you need names in order to place other people. You need it as a reference point for other people to relate to you and for you to relate to other people. A name is a point of interface for others. And the idea of Malchus Hashem, Malchus is the idea that Hashem's kingship is his the representation of his kavod in the world. All of these things are all ideas of manifestation of Hashem's presence in the highest level, but it's all an idea of a manifestation of Hashem's presence. Shema Yisrael is acknowledging that there is no manifestation. A manifestation means that there's something else to appear to. But Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, says he's the only one. There is nothing else. Baruch Shem Kavod, which was Yaakov Avinu's declaration, was the acknowledgement of Hashem's manifestation in the world on the highest of levels, but that was still on a lower level, that level at which we're able to recognize Hashem through the way he manifests himself in this world. And I think that is possibly part of the reason why we cover our eyes when we say Shema. When we say Shema, you cover your eyes when you say the first pasuk, and you do not cover your eyes when you say the second pasuk, when you say Baruch Shem, because when you say Shema Yisrael, you are acknowledging a reality that you can't actually come to terms with. You're acknowledging a reality which is that you don't act, that we don't actually exist, that there is no reality to our own existence, and that there's no reality to existence as a whole. And when we look at the world and we see a very real world, and we touch and feel and we deal with the world as being real, and the whole concept of mitzvos means that we are meant to deal with the, we don't say, well, you know, the tefillin don't really exist, so why bother putting them on? The whole idea of mitzvos assumes that we deal with the world as God gave it to us to deal with. When we say Shema Yisrael, we're acknowledging a truth that we can't deal with, that we can't actually live with. And therefore, when we do that, we cover our eyes, because it's something that we can't actually look at the world and mean what we say. But when we say Baruch Shem, we say it out loud, and we say it with, because that's an acknowledgement of something which we can have a shaychus to, which we are acknowledging, we're hoping to acknowledge that within everything that exists in the world, it's all a manifestation of God's kavod and of God's honor and God's greatness. And that's all in the declaration of Baruch Shem, is all lefi erkenu, that's all according to our level of understanding and grasping of reality, that we say this. You know, very high level, but at the end of the day, a lower level of recognition of the totality of God's existence in acknowledging total control over over an existence which is there. Moshe Rabbeinu reached that level of hasaga of yud kei vav kei, of understanding that existence didn't have a reality, and therefore the level of Moshe Rabbeinu was at the point where he recognized that all of reality is just Ratzon Hashem. There is nothing else other than Ratzon Hashem. The Kedushas Levi says, the Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, so Hashem said, go down and tell Klal Yisrael and give them the Torah, and Yigbal to Asahar, and cordon off Har Sinai and tell them not to go up. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down, and then he comes back up to Har Sinai, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go back down and tell the people and warn them not to come up. Pen Yaharsu Liros, I don't remember the end of the pasuk, and he says that you have to go back down and tell the people not to come up. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Hashem. He says, Lo yuchal ha'am lalos ki atai dosabam pen Yaharsu Liros. I don't remember the end of the pasuk, but that he says the words say that. Are translated as saying that they're not going to come up because, you know, you told them, we already told them not to come up. The Kedushas Levi says that's not what the words say. The words say, lo yuchal ha'am la'alos, that they're incapable of coming up. Why are they incapable of coming up? Because you told them they can't. So if you told them they can't, then they're unable to come up. And says the Kedushas Levi, that was Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, was Lech Raid, was Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to go down. You're speaking on your level. You, if I tell you something is Aser, that doesn't just mean that it's bad, it means it's impossible. If it's not Ratzon Hashem, then it doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Ratzon Hashem creates an iron wall, that is existence as far as you're concerned, Moshe Rabbeinu. They're not quite on that level, and therefore you have to go down and tell them again and remind them, because in the excitement of Matan Torah, that they're going to want to be included. But the level of Moshe Rabbeinu is that level of Lo Yuchal Ha'amlal, is that's impossible. Violating Ratzon Hashem, there is nothing else other than Ratzon Hashem. And that was the hakara that Moshe Rabbeinu had, that the reality of existence was the reality of only Ratzon Hashem was the only thing that had a reality. And it's for that reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who was suited to give the Torah, about which we can say that there will never be another Torah, and that it's the exact word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because every nevuah that happens, the Navi, the Rambam writes this in Mor Nevochim, in Perek Beis of Mor Nevochim, around Perek Lamed Beis or so, and in the seventh chapter's introduction to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam describes that when a Navi gets a nevuah, that nevuah comes through the filter of the personality of the Navi, and every midah that Navi has, which is not absolutely perfected, creates a what the Rambam refers to there as a mesach, kind of sort of a screen of a filter that nevuah goes through before it comes out and is expressed. And nevuah is not just, you know, a prophetic text message which you get in your prophetic inbox and then you come and you announce it. It was a divine energy which the Navi got, which was channeled and interpreted through the Navi. And that's why every Navi had their own signon, had their own style. It wasn't just because of, you know, because everybody has their own style and, you know, you're cramping a style if you would. It's because it was an expression, the Nevuah was an expression of himself or herself. And the Nevuah always went through, was channeled through the identity of the Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anav Mikol Adam. That he was the absolute Anav doesn't mean that he thought he was, you know, a terrible, worthless human being. It means that he acknowledged that everything that he had was just a conduit of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given to him. Moshe Rabbeinu was the perfect Anav. He had no self. He had nothing of himself to imprint itself on the Nevuah. He recognized that all of exists, there is no me. I'm not real. I don't real. There is no reality to my existence. Existence is only Ratzon Hashem. There was nothing to get in the way of when that hashba, when that the energy of Nevuah comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. It comes through unadulterated and unfiltered by any mesach, any screen, any filter, because there is no filter by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's just there's all that there is the conduit that channels that the Dvar Hashem, and that's why the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is Zed Dvar Hashem, that he says, this is the word of God, as opposed to Nevi'im say, Ko Amar Hashem, which roughly translated means, like this is what God said, because the Navi is always a reinterpretation and a representation of the word of Hashem, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu is merely the projection of the word of Hashem. And that's an expression of, and that's why the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is uncontestable by any future Navi. Why he is the father of all Nevuah is because his Nevuah is on a Madrega that no other Navi can hope to ever achieve. And the statement that Lo Kam B'Yisrael Kamosha Od, that there will never be another Navi like Moshe, is not just a testimony that God will never decide to give anyone else a Nevuah like the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu got, but that Moshe Rabbeinu was, that, like we said, was a unique status of the existence of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was at a very unique existence where he, like we mentioned, he lost his Bechira, he outgrew Bechira, he was at the level where you're no longer what we normally describe as human. Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just kind of decided Moshe Rabbeinu is good enough to give the Torah to. Moshe Rabbeinu, the state of his Nevuah and the level of his Nevuah was a product of Moshe Rabbeinu being at that Madrega that the Rambam describes that he was essentially a Malach. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is Lo Kam B'Yisrael K'Moshe. There will never be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu because there will never be an individual like Moshe Rabbeinu who can achieve that level where their Nevuah reaches that level of expression. And therefore, there's the seventh Iker of Amunah, that there's no Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu that is essential for our appreciation of the Torah, that no one can ever think that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is subject to evaluation, is subject to review, because the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is the pure, unadulterated representation of the Dvar Hashem, of the Ratzon Hashem, in the Torah. And that's why at the end of the Torah, that's that the Gemara says that Elu HaMitzvos, that these are the mitzvos, Mikan She'en Navi Shum Navi Rosh HaElchadish Davar, no Navi can come and add anything onto the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu already finished the job. There's the complete and total manifestation of absolute Ratzon Hashem is all in the Chumash. There's no replacement of the Torah, there's no switching it, there's no adding and there's no subtracting, because it's the absolutely perfect representation of Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, the Avos, we say, coming back to Shimon Esrei here, that we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, they're all on the Madrega of Elokim. And that's the Madrega that we relate to. When we aspire, our hope is to recognize the total revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the entirety of creation and existence, to see Hashem as in control and being manifest in everything that exists. But that's the most that we can expect. We're expected to live within the world that God put us in, and we're expected to appreciate our own autonomy and to see our actions as being independent and meaningful. Moshe Rabbeinu is on a level where says the Nefesh HaChaim, we don't hope to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't associate our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe, because that's a level which is completely removed from the mode of existence that we live in. We live in the level of Elokim, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we don't mention Moshe, because the direction and the focus of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is on that level of the world that God put us in, that we hope to reach that level where we can recognize God's involvement in every level, in every aspect of existence. But at the end of the day, that we don't dream of reaching that level, intellectually we should try to be aware of it. And that's why so many Sfarim write about it. So the Nefesh HaChaim has an entire shar of Nefesh HaChaim about it, that there's an intellectual academic aware that we should know, that, you know, it's important to be aware, just to appreciate the true nature of existence and the, you know, God's relationship with the world, that's the way it is. But it's something we can't really appreciate. We can, you know, have somewhat of an, we can say the words, and we can recognize that it must be true, but to experience and to actually live with that reality is not something that we can do. What time is it? Okay, one more point. So we repeat, we say we do not, what's the word? We don't distribute. We don't say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and we add a vav by Yaakov. It's not Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Hakel Galagivar. That we add a vav by Yaakov. So why exactly do we bother repeating? Why is it necessary to add Elokim, Elokei by each of the avos, and why the vav by Yaakov's name? So the reason that we separate them, and the reason that we say Elokim by each of the Avos, is because each of the Avos had their own independent and unique relationship with Hashem. Avram had his Mid of Chesed, Yitzchak had his relationship with Hashem through the Mid of Gvura, and Yaakov through the Mid of Emes, and each was an independently valid way to relate to Hashem, with, Rav Dessler says, with the balance of the other Midos, that Avraham, he excelled in the midah of chesed, or he focused on the midah of chesed, but he also had a modicum of gvura and emes also that tempered the whole picture, and that he emphasized chesed, and Yitzchak the same thing, is the emphasized gvura, but he had the still had that balance of chesed and emes, as opposed to someone like Esav, who we'll hopefully talk about at some point, that Esav had a total need of Gvura, without the balance of any, it was the Gvura taken to its extreme, without the balance of Chesed, and therefore Esav's Gvura was destructive, it was the psoles of the need of Gvura, that's why he was a murderer, because it's a need of Chesed that's unbalanced. But in any case, each of the Avos had an independently valid way, or focus in their relationship to Hashem. At the same time, they're all leading to the same relationship with Hashem. They're not three independent types. They're three facets of the same relationship. And therefore, the letters of Elokei, Elokei, the Elokei is 13. It's 13 letters, which is the gematria of Echad, so the 13 midos of Hashem, the Yud Gimel midos, which are all an expression of the Achdus of Hashem, the echad of Hashem as it unfolds into this world, is that the as you expand echad, aleph, ches, and dalet is gematria is 13. That's the expression of that echad as it's unveiled in this world, and that's the relationship, and also the letters of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are also 13. Is all the 13 midos of Hashem are all part of one echad, and the three different aspects of the relationship that the Avos had with the Kadosh Baruch was not because there are three different parts of God. It was three different facets of the very same relationship. The vav by Yaakov, other than working out for that neat thing that we said that there are 13 letters in Elokei, Elokei, Ve'Elokei, but also that the Vav by Elokei Yaakov, the letter Vav is called the Vav HaChibor. The idea of a Vav is always something which is putting things together. And the Mida of Yaakov, and we'll talk about this, we'll hope to talk about this at length in when we talk about Yaakov, but the Mida of Yaakov, the Midah of Emes, the idea of Emes is a synthesis. Yaakov was a synthesis of Avram and Yitzchak, of Chesed and Gvura, impossibly combined into Emes. Yaakov was the Midah of Emes, Titan Emes Le Yaakov. And what do I mean when I say that they're impossibly combined? So Avraham was the Midah of Chesed, and we discussed in our introduction to the first bracha that the idea of Chesed, the conception of the Chesed, most basic sense means kindness, but the conceptual idea of chesed means an unfettered outpouring of giving. It's an unlimited just being mashpia, just the pure energy, which is, you know, in its nature unlimited. It's just an unending source of giving to something else, which that alone could never produce anything. You just have material, you just have more and more, you have no form, and you never stop to concretize it. If you would decide to build a building and you would you want to, you know, bring wood so that you'll, or whatever you'll use to bring, you bring steel to build your building, and you just keep bringing more and more steel, and it's a never ending, so you'll have lots and lots and lots and lots of steel, but you'll never have a building. The Midah of Gvura, of Yitzchak, was the Midah of Gvura, which is the Midah of holding back and restraining, is the Midah of giving, of setting definition and limitations to something. That by itself also can't produce anything, because it's just a setting of limits and definitions. If you decide to, instead of bringing this endless amount of steel, you decide to draw your blueprint, and you spend all of your time perfecting and improving, and you've got the best blueprint possible, at the end of the day, all you have is the form that the building will have, but you don't actually have a building. You don't have the material. You don't have the actual substance which makes up the building. You just have the conceptual definitions which will form, which the substance will be formed into when you actually build it. The synthesis of the two, when you put the two together, when you take the chesed, which is by definition unlimited and unending. There is no, the chesed is by its nature unceasing. And you take the gvura, which is by its nature putting a stop to something and saying it is this and only this. So it's only when you combine those two things in a way which neither of them on their own can tolerate. But when you combine those two things, is the only point at which you get, they're balanced into a lasting product, into making something real. And that's why Yaakov is the source of Netzach Yisrael, that the eternity of Yisrael comes from Yaakov Avinu. He takes these two foundations and puts them into something real. And the Midah of the Avraham had a, there was a psoles of the Midah of Avraham. Avraham had Yitzchak, but he also had Yishmael. And Yitzchak, there was a psoles of the Midah of Yitzchak, that Yitzchak had Yaakov, but he also had Esav. But Yaakov is a mitaso shlema, because Yaakov is the combination of putting together the Midah of Avraham as it was refined, and the Midah of Yitzchak as it was refined, and putting that together into creating something real. And therefore Yaakov was mitaso shlema, is the point at which the proliferation of Klal Yisrael begins, is the point at which the eternity of Klal Yisrael and the totality of Klal Yisrael, there is no psoles, that all of Yaakov's children were all included in Klal Yisrael, and from Yaakov Avinu on, there's no opting out, there's no Yishmael didn't make the cut and he sent away, and Esav didn't make the cut and he sent away. There's no such thing as being sent away after the after Yaakov Avinu, because that's once you've put it together into something real, that's the whole picture. There's it's a totality, it's a shlemus, which there's in shlemus there's nothing that gets tossed out. The whole thing is part of the picture, and that was the meat of Yaakov Avinu was the with the vav hachibor, because he is the combination of the midos of Yitzchak and Avram. Just one last small point. The Panim Meiros says that the reason we say L-O-K by each of the Avos is because each of them independently realized on their own the Yichud of Hashem, that the each of them came to the appreciation of the nature of Hashem's oneness on their own, and that there's we specifically acknowledge this at the beginning of Shemona Esrei of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the importance of forming your own appreciation of your relationship with Hashem, of realizing the uniqueness of your own personal connection to Hashem. The Gemara says that there are 600,000 letters in a Sefer Torah, and if even one is missing, it's possible. So long before the time of computers, somebody went ahead and counted, and there's I don't remember if it's Reb Kiva Eger or one of the Achronim, you know, in the margin of the Gemara there has a note that says, you know, if you count them, it's actually 324,000 or something like that, whatever the number is. The Gemara says there's 600,000 letters. A number of explanations in the Mefarshim of exactly how you reconcile those things. Yaakov Kamenetsky has a brilliant cheshbon and calculation in which he basically means that there are certain letters which are actually made up of two smaller letters, and if you count each of them, he goes through a cheshbon and he doesn't work out the numbers exactly, but he basically says, and if we knew how to do the math like that, you would actually see how it actually comes out to roughly 600,000. But a very simple explanation of the Gemara is that there aren't actually 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah, but the Gemara is not talking about literal letters in the Sefer Torah. The Gemara is referring to that which we know there is 600,000 of, which is there are 600,000 neshamos in Klal Yisrael, and the Yotzei Mitzrayim, the root neshamos of the Jewish people, and that each person has their own letter. Each person has their unique contribution to the Sefer Torah of the Jewish people. And if any one of those letters, if the contribution of any one of those neshamos is missing, then the entire Sefer is possible, because it's the shlemus of Klal Yisrael. It's the entire picture of Klal Yisrael, which is only created by the contribution of each member of Klal Yisrael that makes up that Sefer Torah, which is the story of the Jewish people. And each letter is significant because each neshama is significant. And that's the each person has to recognize the significance and the importance of forming their own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That relationship has to be based on a Masorah and has to be within a framework of Torah and Mitzvos, but that each person has to recognize and develop that the uniqueness of their own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and realize the central significance of that, not just for themselves, but for the purpose of for the performance of the mission of Klal Yisrael, of creating that Sefer Torah, of creating that Shlemus, of bringing it to the world, is necessary for everyone to have their part in that structure. All right, we'll pause here.
So 600,000.